Well, thank you, choir, for touching our hearts once more. It's always great. I was talking to one of our visitors today and said, when I came here in March and found out what kind of music this church had, I was like, I get to serve this church. Are you kidding me? It's just such a pleasure. We are in Revelation chapter 3 this morning, and this I want you to really pay attention to the beginning of this sermon today when we get into the sermon, because this is such an important sermon to understand why you need to know the historical context to understand what is being said. This one more than any of the seven churches, and we are finishing this series today. And just so you all have an idea of where we're going right now, is today we are finishing this series. Next week, of course, is Stewardship Sunday. So you can all come next week to see how this pastor squirms when he talks about money, because I hate talking about it. But we have to do it once a year, so next week is our week to talk about that. The following week is Christ the King Sunday, where we'll be actually turning in our pledge cards. And then following that, that following Sunday is Advent. And we'll be getting into Advent in a just wonderful way. And just to give you a little heads up about that, the first Sunday of Advent, so this is 3 weeks out, is going to be Bring a Friend Sunday. And we're going to be the ushers will be bringing gifts. We always have in the bulletin, there's a gift bag for visitors over in the Welcome Center. We always encourage visitors to stop by and pick one of those up. But there's going to be one, we're going to ask that the ushers will actually bring those down the aisles that week so that you will be able to stand with the person that you brought and will be able to present them with their gift right here in the sanctuary. We believe that it's very important that you meaningfully pray about this in the next 2 weeks, that you don't just wait until the last minute and then walk up to some stranger. We want you to be praying these next 2 weeks. Who is it that God is asking you to invite to church? I believe that you can invite a person to church here knowing that it's going to be relevant to their lives, that their lives can be changed. But this morning, we are in Revelation chapter 3. So please hear these words for the church at Laodicea. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold, and I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich and I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so that you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. I want to introduce you to the town of Laodicea, because you cannot understand this text without understanding this city. This city is just so important in understanding the text. When I was growing up, I was so confused by this text when I heard it preached wrong, even that God would rather you be completely cold toward him rather than being hot toward him. I'm like, that can't be right. I'm like, there has to be something wrong with that understanding. I knew that was wrong. And I was just a kid when I heard the pastor preach that. I'm like, that can't be right. And I was so delighted when I found out what this really means, because of course God doesn't want us to be so cold to him instead of lukewarm. What he's talking about is what was going on in this city. This city was an amazing town in many respects. They had a lot going for them. They really did. This town was, of all the seven churches we've talked about as we close out this series, this is the richest of the seven churches. These towns, there were poor towns and rich towns among these churches, but this one is the richest. This church had money. They lived in a plateau that was in a valley. And what we know about this is that there was no river running through the valley, so they didn't have to worry about flooding. But there they were in a fertile valley. There was an 8,000-foot mountain that stood right behind them, and the rich mineral deposits would come down off this mountain and settle there in that plateau from the rain and wind erosion. And so you could really grow crops there. And if you're familiar with these areas that have a body of water nearby where the warm maritime weather comes off of the body of water, comes across the mountain, and then it drops rain, right? And so they had plenty of rainfall year-round. And they had this incredible sheep crop, many sheep there, and they especially bred these sheep over the years. So they were well-known all over the Roman Empire for their black wool. While most had white wool, this town in particular had black wool. They had a gold refinery and a banking system. They had a medical school there that developed medicines that we use to this very day. One of them was a solvent for an eye salve that they sold all over the Roman Empire. This was an extremely wealthy town. They could do just about anything. In 0060, there was an earthquake, and you heard about the earthquake in two of the other cities, one that was so completely destroyed that Rome came in and rebuilt them. Last week we talked about Philadelphia that had the tremors afterwards. It did collateral damage for years to come, and they didn't get any help from Rome, and they were very poor. This town was so rich that they just rebuilt their own town when it was devastated by the earthquake. This is 30 years after the earthquake. The town is built up. It's looking great. Everything's going awesome. They have a military base there because, after all, it has a lot going for it as a town because of having this fertile valley. It's a nice level area. That it's easy to travel through this area. So the road system, all that you had. They even had, in a census it was doing about this time, 7,500 males. So without birth control, you know this is a well-populated town, right? I mean, there's probably 20,000 and upwards living in this town, a small area. In a way, it's kind of like Indiana, except Jimmy Stewart wasn't directing the foot traffic. But it was a real, it took me a couple weeks of hearing him until I realized that was an imitation of Jimmy Stewart. I understand it's Rich Little, right? Yep. So if you're new in Indiana, I just made it your trek around here a little easier. You'll know who you're being directed by. So here they are in Laodicea. They have everything except for one thing, but they solved that too. They didn't have water. There was no city, but they had water. There we go. We're not forwarding again. I'm clicking it, and nothing happened. There it is. Oh, now we're the whole way through. Great. This is fun. I don't know what's with that iPad. So Laodicea developed their own water department because they had all these people, no river running through the town, but there was a river 3 miles away, and they didn't have PVC pipe, but they could solve that too. They made stone pipe, and there it is. There's a picture of where it had been eroded over the last 2,000 years. This was buried underground, and it would deliver cold water to Laodicea on a regular basis. They had no problem having cold water anytime they wanted it. It was a great, great town. Wonderful things happened. They're easy living. Persecution hadn't even reached this town yet. Things were going well in Laodicea. Great place. In fact, they also had hot water. Just off to the distance, there was a cliff, a mile-long cliff, where they took hot baths. Hot water would flow out of these hot baths, and it had calcium carbonate in the water, and it turned that entire cliff white. And you can just imagine the steam coming off of this. And people would go there. It was a resort. People would go from all over the Roman Empire, including from Laodicea, and take their hot baths in this place where it was considered to have healing qualities. So they had cold water that was very useful, and they had hot water that was very useful. But you can imagine the problem, right? Now, cold water is good for drinking, hot water is good for bathing, but what do you do with lukewarm water? Jesus talked about this with the salt one time when he said, when salt loses its value, you toss it out. And it just becomes road dust. He said, when you're useless, that's what God does not like. God is very serious about us being useful. And you heard the word indifference in there. This town had become indifference. And that is the danger for people in this society. You know, whether you're in America or Europe, our life is so much better than so many areas of the world. And it's so easy to become indifferent and self-satisfied and just start believing, we've got it covered. We can fix anything. We can send a man to the moon. We can do anything, right? We can do anything is what we think. And that's what Laodicea thought. They rebuilt their town. They made a water system. They had isolate. They made textiles. They had it all. And God comes to this town of all towns and says, you don't have quite as much as you think. And he really doesn't like it. Now, you know, a lot of you are going to be over in the Welcome Center between services drinking coffee. Now, you won't see me drinking coffee because I can't stand the taste of this stuff. But I have no problem with you drinking it. That's all great. But do you know for many years you couldn't drink coffee if you're a Christian? It was developed by the Arabs, and so the popes were like totally against this. And it wasn't until 1592 that Pope Clement VIII decided, we're going to let them drink coffee. He baptized coffee, so to speak. How about that? I bet this is a new fact, I'll bet, for a lot of you, right? You didn't know that this used to be a pagan drink. And it's become quite the thing. I mean, people drink it hot. People drink it cold. I'm driving up 119. I see a sign. Now they have iced pumpkin coffee. I'm like, really? But what I have not seen yet is a sign in front of Starbucks saying, please stop by for your cup of lukewarm coffee. What do you do with it? Well, here's what God does with it, with the lukewarm Christian. Let's read it together. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. That's a tough word from Jesus Christ, isn't it? And he's saying, not because you're like a passionate hot Christian or because you're like really cold toward God. He's saying because you're useful to God, he loves you, but because you are so indifferent and don't care about God. Now, this is a strong word here, by the way, to spit you from my mouth. Do you know what it says? It's from the gut type of. It's, in fact, look in the King James Version, and you'll see that it says, I will vomit you from my mouth. It's a very strong word. So, now the question is, does that mean that we're saved by our works? Well, of course not, right? Of course not. I mean, we all know this, right? But I probably have to say it anyways because there's a million roads back to self-righteousness. So let us just be clear. We've got nothing but dirty, filthy rags to bring to God, right? That there is no way in the world we can make things right when we have violated a known law of God. He's an eternal God. We cannot make that right. We are saved by grace through faith alone, right? This is the great 500th year of the Lutheran Church when Martin Luther nailed his thesis. We will walk by faith, saved by faith. That's our only possibility. But God is saying that this really matters to him, that we be useful as Christians. That in response to what God has done, that there ought to be some sort of change in us that says, I want to serve this God that's done so much for me. This is what he's talking about here. Laodicea had this total spiritual barrenness. They had become indifferent toward God. They really didn't care. And this is what God, who cannot deny himself, who is such a passionate God, who wants love from his people, he just can't bear with it. The spiritual barrenness. Revelation 3:17, can we read it together? You say, I am rich, and I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Now isn't this amazing? These are the very things, the exact things that they think they have. He says, you say you're rich. He says, you're poor. He says, you have an eye salve. You're blind. You have this wonderful wool textile thing going on. You're naked. He takes everything that they're so proud about and says, this is exactly where you're bankrupt. Because why? God will bring down the proud, and he will raise up the humble. Pride goes before the fall. That's why. This town was full of themselves instead of full of God's Spirit. And this church had taken after its town, and this is the way that they were behaving. And God was not happy with it at all. You know, so many times we get so self-satisfied, and we think we did it all. And the reality is, we didn't. There's a wonderful story about Jumbo the elephant and Flick the flea that are crossing the swinging bridge. And the flea is hanging tight to the elephant, and as the elephant takes every step, the bridge begins to swing, and the elephant can barely stand, but he gets across the bridge, and it's just swinging and rocking after he steps off of it. And Flick the flea says to Jumbo the elephant, we really shook that bridge, didn't we? And you know, we do that with what we have, too. We say, I really did this. I took care of myself. I built up my town. I built up my house. I built up this church. I did this. I did. Blah, 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 blah. Right? You know that great song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness? You know the hymn, the chorus, how it goes. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That comes right out of Lamentations 3:23. If we could read that together. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. This is where he got that text. You know something? I realize that I'm not a self-made man. I hope you realize that about yourself as well. And I hope that as our church is flourishing and things are going well, let us please, please, please not get full of ourselves. Please. Please. The music's great, but let us not say, boy, our church. Let us say, we are so grateful for what God is doing in our church. Please, please, let's keep our focus. That it's God's mercies we have what we have. You know, every good gift comes down from the Father of light, says James, right? Everything comes from God. I mean, these people in Laodicea, did they have anything if God had not caused the mineral deposits to flow into that valley? Did they have anything if God didn't cause this hot bath? Did they have anything unless God sent rain on the just and the unjust there in that valley? Did they have anything? They had nothing until God gave them. I came into this world naked. How about you? I'm going out naked. How about you? And everything I have for a little while, I just get to be a steward of, and I'm completely dependent on God, completely. And the truth is, whether you realize it or not, so are you. We all are completely dependent on God. And so, good thing for them, God sends a second chance to Laodicea. And isn't that awesome? And here's the chance that he offers them. Let's read it together. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been refined by fire. Then you will be rich, and also buy white garments, so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and buy ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. You see how it's working here? Again, the irony, the very things that they think they have, he says, what you need to do is you need to buy this from me. And how do you buy anything from God? How did Israel buy mammon from God? When they were going through the desert, they couldn't come up with a mammon. They didn't have anything to offer God. Like I said before, we have nothing but filthy rags. How can we possibly buy anything from God? How do we buy from God? What is God's purchasing power? It's faith and trust in God. You see, when Israel was going through that wilderness and they needed bread, they had to trust God every single day, and God gave them one day at a time, one day at a time. He never gave them except on the Sabbath. He would give them 2 days at a time. But he was trying to teach them, this is how you purchase from me, by faith. And you know, the persecution has not reached this town yet. But he says, you will have persecution, and you're going to buy spiritual wealth from me. Here's the spiritual gold. It will be purified by fire. We're going to find out who the true Christians are. And you know, in a way, this is what's kind of happened here in America since the 70s and the televangelists that blew it. Some of the daytime TV that's really put a bad mark on the church. And what's really remained is people that are faithful. And in a way, we've been purified as a church. If you're going to church so that you can be popular or so that you can get respect, you're dead wrong. You're going to church because you worship God. And I hope that's your only reason for attending church. It's to worship God. Because that's why we're here. And we were never about getting respect from the community unless a church was messed up. We were never about job opportunities because we're rubbing elbows with employers. I hope that's not why anybody goes to church. I hope we're in church to worship Almighty and glorious God. And that's the reason. To show our trust in Him. Friends, I feel so blessed. Do you feel blessed? Do you know how good God has been to you? Do you remember and count your blessings day by day? Do you know that God is a good God? He's good. He's so good. And He stands at a door and He knocks. This text just blows me away. This God of the universes. And did you catch how He introduced Himself? He says, I am the Alpha, the beginning of God's new creation. This glorious one stands at the door like a gentleman knocking on the door. Let's read it together. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. I grew up St. John's United Methodist Church. My wife and I came of age there in that little United Methodist Church in Ely, Pennsylvania, just north, right around Somerset there. I remember, look at this picture. St. John's had three big pictures in that church, picture windows. They had a bunch of small picture windows, but the one stained glass window was this one. They had one where Jesus was carrying a lamb on his shoulders and sheep around him. Each of these three windows were 20 feet wide and 30 feet high. You can just picture this. And that's about as close to the colors as I can remember. I got this picture off of Google Images, but that's pretty much the picture right there. It's vivid reds and such. I always liked the picture of Jesus carrying the lambs. I thought, boy, that's a beautiful picture of Jesus, isn't it? And Jesus with Mary in the garden, the resurrection morning, that's an awesome picture too. I always like looking at that picture. But there was something about this picture. I just remember as a kid looking at this picture and thinking, man, I've heard such nice things about Jesus. Why don't they open the door? You know? Open the door, let them in. why is the door shut? I couldn't understand that. And then I got in about fifth grade, you know, at the elementary school, that's about as big as you can get, right? It's like, out of my way, I want a drink. Get back from the fountain, you know? I'm like, why doesn't He just knock the door in, right? He's God. Knock it down. Walk right in. And then as I got older and came to understand this as a Christian, and I began to realize there's no knob on the outside of the door as it's put in the rendition. And there's a reason that He says, I stand at the door and knock. He can knock it down. You better believe He can. He can do anything He pleases. He is sovereign. But He chooses not to. He chooses not to knock it down. For his kingdom is not of swords loud clashing, but his kingdom is of submission and humility. That's God's kingdom. And so he stands at the door and knocks and says, if anybody hears me knocking, and if he opens the door, if she just cracks that door open and says, come on in, I will be their friend. I will sit down and have a meal with them and be their friend. I had a pastor one time say, boy, it got quiet in here. In the stillness of this moment, friends, if God is knocking, do not ignore it. Do not ignore the knock. If God is knocking, open the door. He will not knock it down. The God of the universes says, let me in. That ought to humble you. Louis Giglio does a video where he shows, you can YouTube this, by the way, he shows our earth and then how small our earth is compared with the sun, and then he shrinks it down and shows Betelgeuse, and then he shrinks it down and shows the next one, and you just realize how small we are and how glorious God's creation is, and this God of that creation is gently knocking at your heart. We open the door this morning. I'd ask that you would bow your heads. There in the calmness and the peace of this moment, that you would hear a God who says, please, do not be full of yourself. Do not be indifferent. I'm knocking at the door. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. So you might pray this prayer to just say, I open the door to you, God. If you whisper that in your heart, that's where he does business. He'll hear you. Whisper that in your heart at this moment and say, come in, Lord Jesus. I want you to be my friend. You are my God from this day forward. I accept you as my Savior and as my Lord, and I seek to serve you, and I just ask that you show me how. Please make this prayer. Do not miss this chance. Whoever you might be, please hear the knock. Now, Lord, I thank you for those who have just made this commitment or recommitment. And I look forward to what you're going to do in their lives, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to make us humble, continue to guide us. If we start being satisfied in our own gold, Lord, please, please cause us to be purified. Cause us to buy real gold, spiritual gold. And Lord, we just pray your blessing on each one in this community. We love you. We honor you this moment. In Christ's holy and matchless name, amen.